All right, so we're going to look today on the topic of on the run. On the run. And are you running to something or are you running from something? You know, that's a question that Lord just spoke into my heart the other day when I was kind of considering, you know, which direction to go next in the sermons that we're going to be experiencing here this fall. We recently in our community had a man that was on the run, right? Maybe you heard about it, it was on the news. He was running from the law. And he had escaped for a while. But then, as fate would have it, he knocked on the door of a retired law enforcement officer, and that was the end of his run. You know, talk about bad luck. You know what I mean? You know, what kind of luck is that? You know, you're out on the lam, you're running, and you knock on the door for help, and you end up knocking on a retired law enforcement. The only thing would be worse if you knocked on the sheriff's door or something like that. But it sounds like something Jonah would do, and that's who we're going to look at today, is Jonah. You know, Jonah was somebody who kind of went on the run from God. And it's kind of like us, you know, we're all running through life, right? Everybody's on the run. We're going somewhere. We're doing some things. And sometimes I found out we end up running the wrong direction. And that's why we need to make sure that we're running towards God. The passage we're going to look at today is Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. And it says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, and paid the fare and went down into it and to go to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your anointing to be here today, Lord, to give us direction, comfort, and also to challenge us. Lord, to be able to stretch out and to go out and to be able to accomplish everything that you've called us to do. Lord, right now I thank you for that special anointing to be here that you placed on my life, Lord, to be able to minister the gospel. I pray for words of both pierce and penetrate, and I pray for the gift of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. I never knew Tarshish was so hard to say there until I read that passage. Okay, the first point I want to look at today is the idea that God spoke. You know, that's something that we need to understand in our life, that God does speak to us. And I believe deep down inside, we probably all want God to communicate with us in some way, shape, or form. And, you know, all through the Old Testament and New Testament, it talks about how God would speak to his people and the impartations, or however that kind of worked out in their life. But it's important that we understand that we all want God to tell us something, to reveal some things to us, hopefully, that we need to know. Now, many people mistakenly think that because we ignore God, that God, in turn, ignores us. But that's not the case. God does not ignore us. God has us on his heart. He has us on his mind. And he has things that he wants us to do. Each of us have a special gift and a calling, you know, whatever that is. And it's something that we should explore individually and to be able to figure those things out. And what God told Jonah here, Jonah was one of his spokesmen. He says, "Rise and go." Now, what I found out in my life is sometimes God speaks to us to get moving. It's our marching orders, the things that he wants us to do. You know, and how we need to do that, we just need to step out and follow us. Now, what I found out in life is sometimes when God, you know, reveals some things, you know, that he wants us to do, it can kind of challenge us on the inside. You know, maybe it's something that we've never done before. It's something that, you know, maybe expands our thinking. It makes us really search inside what it is. And, you know, it may stretch us, you know, especially we get older. You know, young people don't know this yet, but as you get older, you have to about stretch out before you do anything anymore. You know what I'm saying? If you don't stretch out, you know, you end up pulling a muscle or something bad happens to your body. And see, that's what happens sometimes as we as Christians, we kind of get in a little bit of a rut in life. And then before you know it, we keep going the same path and everything. I found out, you know, I've gotten high-centered before with one of my vehicles. I got into a rut and fell down into it, and then I just bogged down. Like, we live on an alley, and, you know, God bless the city, they don't plow the alleys anymore. You know, it's tough. You know, especially with the van. That's why I have a four-wheel drive. I never get stuck. You know what I'm saying, for the most part. But the van, on the other hand, last winter, we was ready to sell that thing. Because just driving down our alley, we couldn't move. Because we sunk down in the snow into the rut, and then the belly of the van got stuck, and then we couldn't go anywhere. And see, that's what it's like in life sometimes. If we get into such a mundane rut, that's why we need to really keep seeking God. I'm not saying doing the same things bad all the time, but I'm just saying we need to be open to God's Spirit on what He has for our life, to be able to maybe try something new. You know, I know for me, when I first became a Christian, you know, everything was new to me. I wasn't raised in the church. I dabbled in Christianity a little bit. And then when I really got born again, you know, I started to, you know, get into some certain things. Like the old saying that I always tell, that I didn't know what the word evangelism means. You know, I knew I needed to change my life on Friday nights, so I noticed in the church bulletin that on Friday nights they could go do evangelism. Well, I figured, well, there's some Christian people. I can go quit going, you know, to doing what I was doing. I'll try something new. Until I found out what it was. You know, I didn't know Jesus yet. Seriously, I was not born again yet. So I knew that I had no business going out there, so I was afraid to make that change. So when they went out the north door, I went out the south door. You know, I was heading to my car. They thought I was following them, knew where he was going, but I was going home. I went home because I was not willing to change yet. But praise God, finally after a while, I got it right, amen, and started to get into the things of God. You know, what I found out is that when we allow God to stretch us, we usually find out there are things in us that we didn't know was there. Things in us that we didn't know was there. And you're never going to find those things out until you actually trust God and start to explore and try new things and do things. You know, I know there's some things that I explored that I know that that's really not where God's leading me. But I did find out some things that I could figure out that, yeah, this really resonates with me. This is why I believe God created me. So I got involved in those things. Now, sometimes we don't always like, you know, what God tells us. You know, I know some people think, you know, they get the Jonah idea. That, you know, they're afraid to follow God because they just know that they know that God's going to go make them be a missionary. God will not make you be anything. God will encourage you to find your calling and things like that. And believe me, if you're called to be a missionary and it's God puts that inside of you, you're going to know it. You're going to know that for a fact. So don't think that, you know, you're afraid to give your life to God because you're afraid of what He's going to do. Because I found out when God, you know, sometimes had challenged me in the beginning, you know, some things that held me back. Insecurity. Everybody struggles with insecurity. You know, especially maybe, you know, public speaking. A lot of people, you know, get nervous getting up in front of people and then they say things they wish they wouldn't have said. You know, welcome to the life of preaching sometimes. You know what I'm saying? You know, you never know what's coming out sometimes. You know, hopefully after years, I've learned to not say everything that comes into my mind. Amen. How many's learned that already? If you haven't, you better get on. You better get to class because, you know, if we say everything we think, we will never have any friends. But that insecurity comes out, you know, and things like that holds us back. That's why I try to get so many kids involved in church, to get them in front of people, maybe just saying something or praying something. Get them over that hump, over that fear. Because it's so important that, you know, we can step out and then we won't be afraid to do things. You know, next, you know, Jonah, you know, the Ninevites were not very nice people. As a matter of fact, they were known for their brutality. You know, I read a little bit about them. One of the rulers actually would rip people's lips off. I mean, that is sick. Another one would fillet people alive. So they were not nice people. So I'm sure when God said to Jonah, hey, why don't you go talk to these Ninevites about me? You know, I'm sure that maybe went through his mind. But you know what really bothered Jonah? And you don't really find it out till chapter 4, is the fact that he didn't want to go to Nineveh because they were the enemy of Israel. But he was afraid that they would repent and get their lives right with God. Because he wanted them to die. And that's how bad it is sometimes. Our culture is like that today. You know, there's such a polarization between Republican and Democrat and all these different things that's been going on for years where, you know, one side roots for the other side to fail. But when they fail, we all fail. We got to get past all that stuff and start to grow. That's my only political announcement for today is, you know, is to try, let's try to get along. Let's don't get mad because, you know, somebody don't think the way we think, you know, and it's hard, you know. You know, like I've always said, it's hard to believe that God loves people that I hate. You know, people do bad things sometimes, and we think God ought to get them, but praise God, God hasn't got us yet for our bad things. Amen. Now, I want to ask us a question. Has God spoken into your heart to go do something that you've never done yet? Maybe you know He's been dealing with you. You know, maybe He's spoken to your heart to go have maybe a difficult conversation with somebody. Somebody that maybe you have maybe been at odds with. Maybe a family member. Maybe a friend. Maybe a workmate. Somebody that you just have been butting heads with. And you know you need to have that conversation to maybe try to straighten it out. Or maybe the idea of stepping out of your comfort zone and being you know all that God's called you to be. You know, I remember, you know, when God started to challenge me, I'd just been saved a little while, and the church that I was involved with asked me to be a Sunday school teacher. I could barely say the name of Jesus or spell it, let alone tell other people about it, but I started off with young kids, and fortunately, I was smarter than they were for a while there anyway, and, you know, just started there. But it's hard. You know, that difficult conversation, maybe somebody at work stabbed you in the back and stole your promotion, or maybe said some bad things about you and your family, and God tells you to go and tell them about your love, and deep down inside you want them to go to hell. That's what Jonah was like. He knew that God would forgive them, evil people, so he didn't want to give them a chance. But see, we don't need to do a Jonah. Amen. We need to do a Jesus. You know, we need to be forgiving and give them the opportunity. I'll be honest with you, it's amazing just the life change experience that takes place in somebody that used to you not get along with, and then they get born again and now you're big buddies because you have something in common. And that's Jesus Christ. And that's the excitement and the power of the gospel. It's amazing what God can do when we let Him. Next, I want to look at the idea of our assignment. We might have looked at this a little bit in the first of the year. But God has given us each an assignment. And see, Jonah's assignment, now he accomplished some of his assignments that God had given him. He was a prophet, and he had carried out some tasks that God had given him. But here, God has a special assignment for him. God spoke to him. He told him, this is what I want you to do. And so, you know, you should be excited about your assignment, but sometimes it doesn't work that way all the time. So to me, when you find out your assignment, it really finds out why we were created. I don't know about you, but I ponder the meaning of life sometime. It just amazes me how we got here. You know, I don't believe I came from a goop of goo, you know what I mean, the evolutionary process, where all of a sudden things just kind of happened by random chance, and all of a sudden, voila, people were here. No, I don't believe that. I believe in intelligent design, and the greatest intelligent design is God the Father spoke, you know, and created, you know, had the plan. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all were part of creation, how we got here. Now, I still haven't figured out where God comes from, and if you figure it out, let me know. But that's a puzzling thought, isn't it? But we're here. And this creator has a plan for his creation. It's only natural. The creator would have a plan for his creation. Now, not all creation knows that plan. Not all creation is seeking after the creator. You know, I just wish everybody could have a great family life. You know what I mean? That, you know, moms and dads and, you know, sons and daughters all just get along and sing kumbaya every now and then and just have a great relationship with each other and want to do things together. But that's not the case. Sometimes they just have differences. And see, that's what's wrong with the creator-creation thing now is, you know, there's differences. The creation doesn't want to submit to the creator because the creator knows best. And see, that's what Jonah didn't understand, is the idea that the creator knows best. And so the creator gave the creation, Jonah, an assignment. And that assignment was to go to tell the Ninevites because their evil deeds had gotten to the place where it was really irritating God. And God said to repent or this. And they ended up, they repented. But Jonah didn't want no part of that. He wanted to do something different. You know, the saddest thing I think is that when people live their life and really don't find out or don't have a clue of why why our God put us here. That's a sad state. Because I remember what it was like my BC days. You know, my BC days is before Christ. I wandered aimlessly, experimenting, trying all these different things, but could never find the fulfillment inside of me that God gave to me in a split second when Jesus Christ came into my life. Amen. And I found out by exploring and getting involved with, you know, good Christian people, why God put me here, what it is I'm supposed to be doing, and what do I need to be a part of. And it's exciting. You know, some of the things that hold us back is that, you know, we are selfish. I mean, admit it, every one of us, we're all selfish. We have selfish tendencies and traits sometimes in our life, and every now and then they come out, and really they come out when it comes to the idea of who we're living for. Are we living for ourselves, or are we living for the Lord or for other people? You know, we need to find that out for ourselves and be able to yield those things. You know, we were created for good works, and what I see about good works is also God works, and God's works are awesome works. Now, I've got some good works in the day. Back when I was a heathen, I was a nice guy sometimes. You know, I'd help people and do nice things for people. Hey, if I seen a little old lady needing to cross the street, I'd beat the Boy Scout out of the way and take her arm, you know what I'm saying? You know, and help them across the street just to get a little cred. You know, I would do good things. But I'll tell you what I found out is when I met Jesus Christ, then I started to do great things. I did things that were awesome. Because, you know, good works are good, but God works are awesome. And when we tap into the flow of God and we find out that when we do things, we're doing it for somebody else and not just for ourselves, it's very liberating. It's liberating to the fact that we start to tap in to the presence of God and we start to feel the creator-creation relationship starting to get stronger, knowing why He put us here and the impact that we can make. You know, I don't want to die and not even leave a dent. I want to leave a dent. I'd like to leave a crater. And as I get bigger in life, you know what I'm saying? No, wait, I'm just kidding. Leave a bigger crater. How many see me, for you guys at the pool party? Man, I left a splash. You know what I'm saying? I knew just when to lay back on that can opener. And the lifeguard, I got him wet first time. He underrated me. You know, I just looked like an old guy getting up on the diving board. That boy got wet. You know, because I just turned it just the right way. You know, that was the mean streak. I mean, if that's the worst I am, come on, that ain't that bad, is it? You know, he had swimming trunks on. He was all right. That's what we paid him for, to have fun. He was a target. No. So our assignment gives us true meaning. You know, our assignment gives us a good reason to wake up in the morning. I hope you have a reason to wake up in the morning. You know, going to work is good, and that's a good assignment. And we talked about that last week, how we can, you know, make an impact on our work. But I really feel there's other reasons that give us an assignment, you know, to wake up in the morning. You know, like I said, life can turn into that deep rut if we're not careful. And, you know, that's why we don't want to get high-centered in life. So that's why we need to look outside the world and maybe things. And I think it's good to explore different things and to find out really why God put us here. You know, I found out in my life when I served people, I got a good feeling. But when I served others, I get that God kind of feeling. Has anybody ever had that God kind of feeling? You know, when you're serving other people for the glory of God, oh, you get that God kind of feeling on the inside. And man, that is so awesome. Where you know that you did this and you're not doing it to get a pat on the back or an attaboy or an attagirl, but you're wanting to, you know, do it because look at God. Look what God did through me. I mean, that is powerful. You know, I was a shy farm boy. Never really, I mean, till I got liquored up, you know what I'm saying? Then I wasn't too shy. But I mean, for the most part, I was shy and didn't really want to go out and do a lot of things. And then all of a sudden, God got a hold of me. And God changed my life. Amen. And then God gave me a desire to build his kingdom, to be a kingdom builder. Not my kingdom anymore, but his kingdom. And I'll tell you what, and by doing that and exploring different things, you know, I've had the benefit of getting that God kind of feeling inside of me. And I know many of you have had it too, when you've ministered to other people and you've watched how Jesus Christ has touched their life through you. And if you haven't experienced that yet, come see me. I will help you to find that feeling. I would sing that song more than a feeling, but I don't think I better. All right. Now, are you running to your assignment or are you running from it? And that's what we need to figure out in our life. Are we heading towards it? You know, you may feel in your life that God wants you to preach to thousands, but he starts you off teaching a small Sunday school class. You know, you got to start where you're at. That's part of the stepping process, starting where you're at. You know, you never will change the world until you change your house or change your block or change your city. You know what I'm saying? You know, I've watched a lot of people who want to change the world but end up changing nothing because not willing to start small. Start where you're at. Start to experience, you know, that presence and what God can do. You know, head towards your assignment, you know, is my last point here today. We need to head towards that. Now, Jonah, as we know, when God spoke to him because he didn't really want the Ninevites to get saved, or not get saved, but repent and not be destroyed, you know, Jonah was supposed to go east. He ended up going west, about as far west as you could go. Matter of fact, he went about almost a couple thousand miles. I mean, that was his goal. He didn't make it that far. Matter of fact, he didn't make it too far at all. And he wanted to go all this distance away, maybe even up towards Spain is where he was heading, and God wanted him to go the other way. And see, that's what happens sometimes when we don't really want to head towards our assignment. You know, maybe we don't feel that we want to do exactly everything, you know, that God has told us to do, but you got to start somewhere. Now, can you imagine if Jonah would have had GPS on there? You know, his GPS would have kept saying, turn right, turn right, turn right. Never turn wrong, amen? That's an old one. Remember that one? Back when I was a heathen, you know, we always went forward because you didn't ever want to go straight. But after I got saved, I went straight and I never went forward. You know what I'm saying? So we want to always turn right towards God. But Jonah went the wrong way. And I'll tell you what, is there any stubborn people here today? Oh, come on. There you go, got Randy. Anybody else? Just Randy? Okay. Well. How stubborn would you have to be that he would rather get thrown overboard than go back? That's how stubborn Jonah was. You know, I respect the sea, the ocean, man. I mean, like I said, the Greys weren't known for their swimming. I tell you what, I've been out in the ocean a few times, and, you know, it's weird. You know, it's far out there, and there's no land. And I took just enough survival training as a kid through the swimming lessons to know that I'm not going to last long. You know, that survival float where you put your hands up, you go underwater and hold your breath for a while, and then you go like this and go up for air. You know, God send a shark. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to keep doing this. I don't want to live that bad. You know, it's just, you know, but Jonah chose to get thrown overboard versus repent and go back to where God wanted him to be. And so they finally picked him up and they threw him overboard, and we know that the motion and the storm stopped. So just because we have motion doesn't mean we have movement. You know, a lot of people sometimes go in circles. They're not really going the way God wants. He got just a little bit, but not enough. But Jonah thought that he could go to Tarshish to hide from God. Tarshish. He went to Tarshish to hide from God instead of going to Nineveh. So where do you think you or I could go to hide from God? And maybe you've never tried to do this before. but I know people have, and maybe I did a little bit when I first started coming to Christ. Where could we go that we can hide from God? You know, some things they can turn their back on God and go the way, but, you know, I really feel that, you know, God sends people across our path every now and then to remind us, you know, to turn back and to go the right way. Psalms 139, verse 8 says, God reaches all the way from heaven to hell. I don't know where you can go, but that covers it all. There's nowhere that you and I can go to hide from God. Now, you may think, you know, that ain't fair to Jonah that God made him do something that he didn't want to do. How many has felt that way sometimes in life? You know, we all have. But, you know, I wondered about that when you first read the story, but if you read the whole Bible, at least a couple, at least one more chapter, you'll find out. Jonah, after God appointed a fish for to swallow him up, I suppose that would have been better than the shark idea I had, but when he was finally in the belly of the fish for 3 days, Jonah finally repented, and in chapter 2, verse 9, he said, that which I have vowed, I will pay. See, Jonah started it. God just didn't pick on him. But Jonah probably prayed one of those prayers that I and you have probably prayed. God, I'll do anything for you. God, I'll follow you anywhere. And God took him up on it. See, I've had countless people over the years, pastoring over 20 years, you kind of pick up a few things and have witnessed a few things. You know, countless people have came and knocked on my door and said, you know, Pastor Brad, you know, my wife's mad at me and da-da-da-da-da, going into all this, and she wants to divorce me. And he says, you know, if God will just fix my marriage and put us back together, you know, I'll start following him and I'll be at church all the time. And I just look at him and say, don't promise something that you're not going to keep. To this day, not one of those people I've ever followed through with their end of the bargain. They try to make bargains, but God doesn't bargain. God doesn't make deals. You know, God will just help us just because he loves us. You know, I'm not saying they shouldn't get their life right, and the reason why they have all their problems is because they're doing a lot of things wrong. But Jonah prayed that prayer, God, I'll do anything, I'll follow you probably, and that which I vowed I'll pay. And so that's what happened. When he finally come to that point, God spit him, or the fish spit him up on the bank where he kind of needed to be. He got back to where he was supposed to be going. And see, that's the place that you and I need to get back to in our life, is the place that we need to get going to. You know, fulfilling the assignment that God has for our life. I know I've studied, I've watched people, you know, sometimes we, whatever reason, the enemy comes in like a flood and distracts us and gets our eye off the ball and, you know, start to miss some things. But I'm just wanting to encourage us today to head towards your assignment again. Keep fulfilling the call of God upon your life. Keep doing what God's called you to do and follow him. God doesn't call you to do everything, but I believe God has called us to do something. So I'm just going to encourage you, as you go towards God, there's a couple, 3 points here that I think will help us. For me, and you think this is a commercial, it is. For me, it meant to be faithful at church. For whatever reason, I really felt close to God at church. You know, I first started out especially, and I still do. You know, there's something about the corporate anointing with other believers being here. You know, I know we're not all best friends. I haven't been to very many of your houses, but still, when we come together here, we have common ground. We have Jesus Christ in common. Amen. And I know that if I asked for prayer, I know you would give it to me. You know, so we have that. And so that's good. And I felt the presence of God, and it kept me coming back. You know, next, you need to find sometimes a new set of friends to hang with. You know, that's what really helped me, because all the people that I used to run with and worked with, none of them were really into God, so they really didn't get a lot of good input. But once I started to find out, and yeah, it was different, it was weird for me to go and, you know, maybe try to make other friends. Friends that I didn't really know I had anything in common with other than God. So we would go off and maybe do some things and, you know, experience new things. I start to meet other people, and, you know, I was kind of nervous around them. I was afraid I was going to say something stupid, you know, starting out, because I was just a baby Christian, you know. But they loved me. They cared for me. Next, get involved. What I found out is there's a deeper connection and a stronger bond when we're involved with something. You know, we feel like we're a part of it. So I encourage you, you know, you don't have to do everything, but, you know, we all can do something. Whatever ministry it is, hop in, get involved, experience the anointing of God. Let God work through you and see where God will take you. You know, because I believe that once you experience, you know, what God can do through you, you'll never be the same. Once I found out that God could speak through me, or God could, you know, the anointing, laying hands on people and praying, or going and serving somebody and making their life a little bit better, you know, it just changed me on the inside. And so I encourage you to experience that also. Now, what I found out, changing your address helps, but changing your heart is better. You know, when I lived here in this town, I had a lot of friends and got involved in a lot of things, and, you know, a lot of it was dragging me down. So I had a bright idea. I need to move away. I moved away, but the problems followed me. But they were less frequent because I didn't have the same people, you know what I'm saying? The ones that would always get me in trouble, or I would get them in trouble too. But what happened is, when I changed my heart, when I pledged my whole heart to the Lord, well, then that's when things changed, because it started working on the inside. And really, that's what Christianity is all about. And that's what we need to experience for ourselves. And that's what we need to promote to other people, is that life-changing experience. You know, when you come to church, I hope you don't think you came to join a club or an organization, something that, you know, gives you certain rights and privileges. But I hope you came because you know you're part of a family. You're part of a family because you've been born into that family. You know, Delbert and Shirley Gray was the family I was born into. They were my parents. But when I was born into the family of God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, I'm in the family of Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's important that we understand that. So hopefully those points will help you. If you never tried to, these are foolproof. What I mean by that, I'm a fool and I did it and they work. You know what I'm saying? These things work. You may not like where you're at right now. I believe you can change it. Don't blame other people, but chart a new path, starting to follow God into the place He wants. And we would love to help you if we can help in any way. You know, be a part of stuff. Come to Wednesday night Bible study. I'm going to start a class maybe on Thursday nights a little bit, a small group, you know, getting together with people who want to maybe learn more about God, you know, just to try to grow in Christ. Because I believe me, you know, reality of God is God is so real. He's real. And we just need to start to play by His rules and start to get into His flow. And there's no telling what God can do through us. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray.